it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome back to the YouTube home for BamaOnline.com. Travis Schreier, senior analyst for BOL, alongside site publisher Tim Watts, and a very special guest to get us going on this latest edition of the program, Mr. Chad Simmons. Chad Simmons, director of recruiting for On3. Chad, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Honored to be here with two legends like you guys, living legends, you know?
Well, maybe take me out of that equation when it comes to YouTube. But hey, Tim, let's talk about the relationships, man. Recruiting is truly about relationships, right? And we typically associate that with coaches, prospects, administrators, number of different angles that directly impact the recruiting process. But in what we do too, man, there are a ton of relationships like the ones we've had with Chad throughout the years.
I don't even know how long Chad and I have known each other. He was with us at Rivals. He got older. I didn't. I know that much. I stayed the same age. I don't know how that happened, but I mean, we were young and green back in the day at Rivals, you know, kind of building something. It was a little bit special because now it's been done several times. But then, I mean, we were kind of like carving our own path and going at it. And we had so many good times. And the publishers, you know, and a lot of them are here now. It's kind of like a little Rivals reunion with Gene Williams and Brent Hubbs at Tennessee and Sean Callahan at Nebraska and so many more. But Chad, he was one I was pretty excited about. We talked because, you know, we were still at On 24/7, but I was talking with Chad the whole time and pretty excited, to get here with him.
So, Chad, tell us how you go about getting into this crazy thing. It seems like we all have our own paths that we've taken to this spot and in this industry. Give us a little bit of a rundown on how it happened for you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even remember exactly how it all started. Somehow I got connected to Scott Kennedy back in the day, which was about 20 years ago now. This is my 20th football season coming up covering high school recruiting. So kind of got into it somewhere in that spring 20 years ago. Kind of hopped in a car with Scott Kennedy, went to an Auburn camp one time. No offense, Bama fans watching this, but went to the Auburn camp and he kind of got my foot in the door. And then after one season with him, like 4 or 5 months, you know, Rivals and / UGA Sports recognized my work. They approached me about, because I lived here in Georgia, coming to help cover recruiting. I think Todd Unzicker at the time was working for UGA Sports. He went to do mission work in another country, opened the door for me to come in and cover recruiting full time. And from there, you know, Shannon Terry, Bobby Burton, those guys took me in and welcomed me to the Rivals family. I built friends like Tim Watts, Steve Patterson, so many other guys, you know, in the Rivals family, you know, in that 20 years ago window. And here we are back full circle now. So that's kind of how it got started. Covered recruiting for UGA Sports for like 2 or 3 years full time, went to like the Georgia State analyst for a little bit, then from a regional standpoint to now national. And that's kind of where it's come here in 20 years.
Yeah, it's been a heck of a path, no doubt about it. And if I were to ask you even just 3 or 4 years ago, Chad, that the landscape of college football, college basketball recruiting would look like it does today, certainly 10 years ago, I don't know if any of us could have fathomed. I guess at some point you figured, because the money was getting so big, that the dam was eventually going to break in some way, shape, or form. But this sort of flood that we've had the last couple of years, I don't know. I couldn't envision it. Maybe you could.
Oh, definitely not. You know, I don't think I wanted to envision it, to be honest with you, from a, you know, old school college football fan, traditional fan, and kind of growing up watching the game the way I did in the 80s and 90s. And, you know, we went to, you know, kind of playing fluff football. You can't hit anybody. You can't have Ronnie Lotz or Steve Atwater's out there anymore laying guys out. You got to have touch football to, you know, the NIL. So we all know you know, like you said, Travis, something was going to happen and evolve with recruiting and college sports and recruiting and all that. But I did not, you know, envision it to being what it is today. And still, it's evolving and changing every day, every month right now with what's going on. Are they going to get any type of structure in place? You know, if so, when and how and what? You know, we're having to adapt pretty much every day on how we cover things and how we report things and kind of what goes on publicly and behind the scenes.
You know what, Chad, I think, though, real ahead, quick, Tim. Chad, I know Chad will probably agree with this. The calendar, it is as messed up as it could possibly be. It is like they're literally running college coaches out of the business. They've seen all these high schools. They can see them once. They come off, I think, May 25th. June 1 opens up all the visits, I believe. They're just a constant barrage of, you remember, we used to have May was slow for us. March was slow for us. We had time with family. We planned trips and all that. No more. I mean, no more. I was wanting to get your thoughts on the calendar and just how it's been nonstop for close to a year now.
Yeah, I mean, I would say for me, you know, doing what I do from a director of recruiting standpoint, probably the slowest time for me actually is probably during the season, you know, because you kind of know what to expect. You know, there's games for me on Thursday, Fridays, whatnot, college football Saturdays, visits taking place, but not the important ones anymore. No, there's no really officials during the season anymore. They're 90% of those top guys are committed. You're watching a few guys maybe flip targets and stuff like that, that where they go week to week during the season. But, you know, especially now with the signing day being the week after Thanksgiving, December 4th, I believe it is. I mean, it's just weird. You know, like, you know, I grew up covering recruiting where December and January were the months, you know, in February, you had that first Wednesday every year. That was the day, you know. Now you have, you know, maybe 10 guys that sign in February, but it's just different. And like you said, the guys are trying to get to the NFL because there is that downtime. You can only have, you know, OTAs a certain period of time. You can only have practice or meetings certain times. You actually have time to balance yourself with your family and your job. And that pertains to us as well, you know, covering this stuff every day because, you know, we all have families, wives and kids, and to try to balance that and also do your job. You want to be like, for me, you know, you want to be a husband or a dad at that elite level, but you also want to do your job at that elite level. And how do you balance that? You know, I talk to different high schools and different events at times and always start off by crediting my wife and just having that wife that understands and supports what I do. She knows if I have to go somewhere, I'm going to do a job and I have to do that job. But, you know, that's the tough thing is balancing not just the college coaches, but us as well on the ground every day, figuring out where to put our time and what takes priority each and every day. But I never would have dreamed about being June and July as the busiest months of the year for me covering high school recruiting. You just, you know, football on the football side. I mean, just June is wild every weekend. Hundreds of kids now are taking OVs across the country. From like the end of June to like mid-July, I think I did like 8 commitment stories last year on July 4th, you know, and like, through a span of about 7 or 8 days. You're doing 3, 4, 5 a day that first couple of weeks of July. And that's kind of the way it is now. And then for me, it does settle down a little bit on the news side come August, September, October. But that's when the season kicks in. You go try to build those, like you said, Travis and Tim, relationships for that next cycle to kick in, you know, next spring. So it's ongoing all the time.
Hey guys, are there pros to this though? This literally 365 in terms of our industry, we don't have to search for a lot anymore. You know, there were stretches in the past, me more so from a team perspective, where, man, I'd get to this time of year and be, man, how am I going to get to August? But now, even with the transfer portal to go along with the year round calendar, pretty much, I don't think any of us have that problem.
No.
I don't think you ever have to search for work anymore. I think it's funny. You always have something to do. You have to figure out when do you put your phone down for a second? When do you put your laptop away for a second? But, you know, for me over here, it's been great at On3 with the resources I have to work with, specifically at the guys at the news desk who help me a lot. I'm on the road a lot all the time, seeing players at camps, events, at schools throughout the week. And if I'm not able to get to a computer, laptop, whatnot, or even phone to type something, I can just call them. They help me. I can't even describe, you know, how many times or how they help me, you know, day to day do my job. and be the best I can be. But yeah, this, like you said, Travis, there's never a shortage of work and you don't have to search for it. I mean, I have guys, kids that hit me up saying, hey, why aren't you retweeting my offers? You know, I'm like, yeah. I didn't even see it. You know, 'cause I get tagged so many times, you know, yeah. But it's, but I'm blessed to be in that spot without question.
I think people underestimate exactly what goes into being a national guy. And I'm always going to lean to that side because I did basketball in the heyday and realize, like, you're right. You're in a gym. You don't know when somebody necessarily texts you. You don't know when somebody, you know, social media is so much bigger now than it was then. So with Chad, yeah, you don't really see when you're on the road, you're not really in pocket like you normally are. Because if somebody texts you right now, Chad can just look at his phone. But if he's driving, if he's working on a story, he's talking to a coach, you can glance at that text and forget to respond to it because you went ahead and talked to the coach, talked to the player, got your video interview, and got your photo. So there's a lot that goes into it national. And that's why we wanted to have you and Steve as our first guest to kind of explain, you know, what goes into your job, you know, because anybody can tell you. I can tell them it's tough, but I think they need to hear it's tough. But you're right. You don't. I remember Charlie Potter trying to figure out what he's going to do in June. He doesn't.
It's August before you know it now. So, Chad, understanding that having that firsthand account, being boots on the ground and what you do is very important. Give us an idea of maybe what the next couple of months will look like for you. What does your schedule look like? Where are you going? What are some things that we need to know about as we continue to work through this recruiting process?
Yeah, if I had to describe it with one word, Travis, probably a blur, you know, I would say the next couple of months. I mean, that's just being honest. I mean, you know, we're on the back end. If there is somewhat of a slower time here in May, their OVs are spread apart a little bit. But, man, when that May 31st kicks in, that first weekend, really going into June, it's going to be pretty wild. Obviously, that recruiting calendar kind of speaks for itself. But as far as where I'll be at OT7, overtime's become kind of the biggest, you know, I would say gig for us on the ground as far as 707 Nationals in Tampa. I think it's June 7th to June 10th. They'll have so many guys are skipping that weekend as far as OVs go June 7th because they'll play in the OT7 final. So a lot of guys that would have typically been, you know, at Bama or Auburn or Georgia, Florida, wherever, are going to be actually in Tampa playing for 3 days down there. We'll have the full team down there covering that event. That's that first full weekend in June. And then from there, we have the Elite 11 finals. I'll be in LA there. I believe that's June, I want to say 18th, 19th, and 20th with the top quarterbacks in the country. We'll go out there and compete and throw, and guys like Charles Power and Cody and those guys will have eyes on those guys evaluating that class. And then we'll go to Future 50 at the end of June down at IMG Academy. So we'll be there. I think that's June 28th, 29th, and 30th, I want to say. So in between all those OVs and breaking stories and what commits are sneaking on a different campus somewhere at school, try to flip those guys in June and July. We'll be covering those were the three main big events of the summer.
Wow. That is definitely a blur, no doubt about it. Hey, how about we go quad box? We got our guy, Andrew Bone, senior recruiting editor for BamaOnline.com, set to jump in with us. There he is. Andrew, welcome to the program. We got Chad Simmons, of course, Tim Watts and myself. Hope you're doing well.
Just a bunch of familiar faces. Good to see you guys this morning. How we doing?
I don't know this guy. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Speaking of aging, Tim, I don't think Bone's ever aged either. Talking about aging and who's gotten older and who stayed younger. You know,
he was born with a beard. He was when he was 13. He got a little grayer, but it's the same look.
Salt and pepper.
Yeah, absolutely. Salt and peppery. Well, this is kind of the big reunion here. You know, it's kind of the big Andrew and Chad work together. Me and Chad have worked together. Now all three of us working together. Me and Travis haven't been together. I'm not even going to say a long time, but this is a quad box I'm really happy to be a part of right now, to have all of us under the same roof and the same umbrella. And honestly, including Travis, who I don't tell enough, but I mean, that's my partner in crime. You know what I mean? Travis, it's just so natural for us. I don't say it, but working with you guys and having the chance to all of us to work together really means a lot. I'm excited about it. You look at the national guys. Chad earlier mentioned Charles Power, who we've known since he was in diapers. You know, Charles is a great guy, one of the best in the business. Cody Belair, who's came on lately. Steve Wiltfong, new guys like Philip Dukes. I mean, the people here, it's unbelievable having a chance to work with all you guys.
Yeah, it's a great, great setup here. And we certainly hope, if you haven't already, you'll subscribe to our YouTube channel here for BamaOnline.com. Hit that subscribe button. Hit a like for us if you don't mind. Turn on those notifications. You'll get all of our YouTube content as it drops. Well, Chad, since we got you here with these Bama guys, Bama Online guys, Tim Watson, Andrew Bone, we obviously cover it. These guys cover it along with Joseph Hastings, unlike any other human beings on the planet when it comes to Crimson Tide recruiting. But we know you have some specific intel too across the country. And right there in the middle of the country is a linebacker target that the Alabama Crimson Tide is very interested in Dawson Merritt. What can you tell us from your perspective, from your immediate dealings with this talented young outside linebacker type, this linebacker as it relates to Alabama and its efforts in his recruitment?
Yeah, I would say without a doubt, Bama is right in the thick of this race, and they're going to be in this race until he makes that decision. I think they're probably still, even though he had a great OV to Nebraska here recently in Lincoln, they definitely, he said it himself, gave him a lot to think about, him and his family. Spent a lot of time with the staff and Dylan Rayola and those guys. They've kind of really made their pitch about why he should choose Nebraska. I would still lean, you know, Alabama as the team to beat. Now, I do think his recruitment has been pretty fluid. You know, we talk about Oklahoma, Missouri, Alabama, Nebraska, the main four. I think Missouri has kind of been eliminated. I think he's still thinking about Oklahoma. Where are they at? They're not where Alabama and Nebraska are. I'll say that with confidence. But they're trying to hang around, still get him on that OV. But Bama's doing a great job, specifically Christian Robinson, who, to speak of my age, I covered that guy in high school. I broke his commitment story to Georgia back in the day at Greater Atlanta Christian. And on the other side of that, speaking of my age, I covered Miguel Chavis, who's recruiting him at Oklahoma. I covered his commitment to Clemson back in the day. So that's kind of telling my story about how old I am, how many guys I've covered back in that now major college coaches. But Christian, the kid he was when I covered him in high school is kind of who he is today. Just connects with these guys really well. Great spoken. I would say young man because he's younger than me, but he's just a great guy. And I think that's hit home with Dawson Merritt. Dawson's that same type of kid that I covered in Christian Robinson, you know, 15 years ago. You know, he's just that yes, sir, no, sir. Great kid, very coachable, has that mentality to be great, be as good. He wants to be coached hard, be pushed the most he can. And I think what kind of gives Bama that edge is that connection with Christian Robinson. Just those guys have kind of connected as people, not just a recruit and a college football coach. And to me, that's put Bama in the best position. But Nebraska has definitely made this a little bit more interesting heading into June.
Andrew, I guess that lines up, Tim. I guess that lines up with what you've been able to gather about this particular situation, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've talked to several of these wolf targets for Alabama, you know, whether it's Dawson Merritt, Justin Hill, Ja'Caleb Falk, who's committed to Auburn. You know, all these guys, you know, rave about Christian Robinson, especially Dawson Merritt. You know, we talked to Dawson a few times, and, you know, said that it's probably the best relationship he has out of any coach is the relationship he has with Christian Robinson. So I think that's going a long way in his recruitment. You know, Alabama has a great linebacker class, but you know, what we keep trying to tell everybody is, you know, the linebacker class that they have right now, most of these guys are inside guys. You know, Dawson Merritt, Ja'Caleb Falk, Justin Hill, they're all being recruited as, you know, at that wolf position, at outside linebacker, pass rusher type guys. So inside linebackers, Alabama's done a great job there. And you know, three of those guys are from the state of Georgia, where Mr. Simmons lives. And I did want to ask him about some of these guys. You know, Jaden Harmon out of Rome. You got Duke Johnson out of Dodge County. And then Luke Metz, who is, you know, certainly one of the guys that I'm really intrigued to hear a little bit more about. I don't know if Chad, I don't know if you've seen him in person yet, but Alabama's done a really good job, as you know, from our perspective, recruiting in the state of Georgia, and it starts at the linebacker position with those three.
Yeah, speaking of those guys, Bone, I think for me, like, the most intriguing one out of those three is probably Duke Johnson, just because he's so athletic. The frame, the length, he could be moved around and used in different ways. And, you know, he started off playing quarterback, you know, in high school. He plays basketball. He tests off the charts. He has those measurables you look for in a guy you want to bring into your program and kind of build and mold into the player that you want. You know, I think he's the one that maybe – you know, maybe it's the most raw, but yet has the most upside on both sides, talking about Duke. Talking about Luke Metz, I have seen Luke before, and I think what kind of flashes to me on Luke is just, you know, instincts and just that football player mentality. He seeks the football. He wants to make a play on the football. And we talked about before you got on here, Bone, about the game going a little bit soft and there's no more Ronnie Lotz and Steve Atwaters and those guys, but he will hit you. You know, he wants to punish guys. He plays the game the way I think a lot of us grew up, you know, either playing the game or watching the game. That's kind of his mentality. And I can say the same about Jaden Harmon. I mean, anybody that knows the city of Rome and the Rome program, it's about football toughness. And it starts with head coach John Reed. John, he won state championships in Alcoa in Tennessee, came down to Georgia. He plays the way he – his team plays the way he coaches and his mentality. And that is no playing around. I mean, that you just it's all about business there. So Jaden will come in ready to go to work. I was talking to Juju Lewis, who, you know, a top quarterback committed to USC, who's still, you know, involved with Bama to some extent as well. And Juju said the best player he played last year was Jaden Harmon. Jaden wants to hit you. He plays fast. He plays physical. You know, not as big as a guy like Duke Johnson, but the guy will hit you. The guy will fly around the football, and he will play very violent. So I think Bama's getting a mixture of three guys there that are a little bit different in different ways, but all very good pickups from Alabama.
Tim, do you think that'll do you think those comments from Chad will maybe simmer down some of the anxiety that we've seen?
We're not sure Mr. Simmons knows this, but Bama has so many linebackers committed that anytime they get a commitment, the running joke is, can he play linebacker? Like last night, it's like consistent. Now, BOL has a history of this. Can he play tight end? Because they didn't have tight ends at one point. But the linebackers, with five committed, counting Miles Johnson, I think that's right, five. They to four or five?
I think it's five. Yeah, let me check.
Somebody wake Andrew up. Yeah, he's up all night. So they've got five committed. Now, also added to this, what Andrew alluded to earlier.
Five, yeah.
Is the fact that the wolf position, it's a linebacker, but it's really not this. You know, it's like apples and pineapples. Sounds the same, but it's totally different. So we've been trying to explain that Dawson, Hill, Hilson, and those guys fall into that. So, Chad, one thing I wanted to ask you, because we know from an insider perspective covering Alabama, what is it like? What do you see now where from Kalen DeBoer versus Nick Saban and how he recruited? I'm not asking you to compare the two. I'm saying with the NIL and everything changed it. What do you see from Kalen DeBoer and his staff, and considering they came from Buffalo and Washington and, Robert Gillespie, Freddie Roach stayed on. What do you see the staff in general? Just your thoughts.
Yeah, I would say, a plan in place. They came in, I think, and took their time to get together and figure out what they wanted to do, who they wanted to recruit. I think the structure is one thing I've seen from the outside and also heard from recruits, parents that have been on that campus taking visits. And I think they've been well received. You know, the biggest thing, I would say I've heard on my side of things too is, look, man, Bama's still Bama. And Nick Saban left that in a very good place for someone like DeBoer to come into and continue that success. Now, can anybody have the success level of Nick Saban? The odds aren't in their favor, but he leaves them in a good spot. But I think the biggest thing is just that he's come in, he's identified the guys he wants to recruit, he's had a plan in place, and he's gone to get those guys. We've seen maybe Nick Saban be a little bit different, where he's had guys, hey, you got an offer, but come to camp. Let's reevaluate and make sure you're a take there. And I think there's guys like that at Nick Saban maybe would have waited for sometimes. But I think DeBoer knows what he's looking for. He's been coaching for a long time. He's won at a high level and has done a great job here early on in Tuscaloosa.
You know, Andrew, we haven't gotten your reaction on here yet as it relates to Deshaun Jones joining this Alabama secondary from the transfer portal. And I also want to ask Chad about that dynamic, too. I mean, it feels transactional more than ever in college football as far as comings and goings. It's almost matter of fact it's become. I know there's still a sentimentality involved with college football, but I'm going to get to Chad with that in just a second. But your initial reaction to that one finally falling into place?
Well, good. I mean, that's thank God. I mean, we were waiting on that one for a few days. It seemed like a few months, but you know, Alabama about a week ago had five scholarship cornerbacks. I guess, well, heading into Sunday, had five scholarship cornerbacks on its roster, and you know, they were able to get him on board, make it six. You know, we'll kind of see what happens over the course of the next couple of days, see if they add any more defensive backs. But yeah, I mean, getting more experience there, getting someone who's had has started at the Power Five level, very good for Alabama. So excited there. I think as far as the transfer portal goes, you know, you don't have to settle in on high school kids anymore. You know, if you're not comfortable taking them, even late in the process, you can focus in on the transfer portal because there's going to be guys in there that have experience, and you can go out and you can target. And obviously the staff is going to, I think they're really going to do, as far as, you know, compared to the last staff, I think you're going to see this staff focus a little bit more on the transfer portal than the previous one. So, good to get that one on board, and I think they'll continue to add a couple more over the course of the next I think it'll be shut down over the course of the next week, but we'll see when that happens.
Yeah, Geno Vandermark, the interior offensive lineman from Michigan State. King Mack, the defensive back from Penn State. I know you and Tim continue to project those guys most likely to Alabama, maybe to wrap this thing up. But, Chad, I wanted to ask you about, you know, NIL, transfer portal. You know, there were things that, again, just a couple of years ago, we would have considered shocking, like Caleb Downs, even with a coaching change at Alabama, making a jump. Now, you've got more freedom than ever before. There's not that sit out a year deterrent that there used to be in college athletics. And then you think about also where, you know, you're trying to maintain rosters. And from a surprise perspective, you know, what sort of surprises you anymore? Does anything surprise you when you see a Caleb Downs leaving, or were you surprised to see Caden Proctor end up back at Alabama? Just looking at Alabama specifically.
Yeah, I was surprised to see Proctor go and come back. I mean, we all thought he's committed to Iowa forever. He's a hometown guy up there. I mean, that probably was more surprising to me that he was going back to Bama than Downs, say, leaving Bama. Just that was a surprise too. But if I had to pick one out of the two, the biggest shocker would be probably Proctor back to Bama, the way it happened. You know, I think the biggest surprises to me happened in the fall. Like, I don't realize this kid transferred from that school to that school. Like, I'm watching a game on a Saturday saying, wasn't he playing last year at Syracuse or something? Here he is playing now for wherever he's at, Michigan State or something. And like, I think that's for me. I get so caught up in my world of the high school recruiting side where I'm always busy and focused on those guys and trying to get to the different events and cover day to day on that. I don't always see who's in the portal, who ends up somewhere else, you know. It's that, to me, that's probably the biggest thing is like I'm watching a game in September saying, man, I thought that guy was over there playing at Georgia Tech, you know, back in the spring. You know, that's either how old I'm getting or I just can't keep up anymore. You know,
like,
that's probably the biggest, but it is wild. You know, I'm for the guys having the freedom to find the best place and the best fit for them. But the way it's happening right now and just the how much freedom they have and how flexible it is, where it kind of they kind of hold the coaching staffs hostage in a way. They almost can threaten, hey, I'm going in the portal if you don't give me this, or you don't do that, or you don't give me this many reps in the spring. If I'm not running one or two, I'm gone. You know, and they've been on campus since January. They go through weight training and off season spring practice, and then they have the power to go threaten that guy. Hey, I was a 4-star on 3. I was a top 50 player. If you don't play me this much, I'm going to the rival and I'll beat you next year. You know, that's why coaches are also, because of NIL recruiting and portal, are running to the NFL from college football, because they don't, You're already recruiting your high school guys. Now you have to recruit your own team to come back every 6 months, you know, and I just hope there's some control and some changes in that in the near future.
Yeah, I agree with Chad. You know, the one thing is I've got three college coaches who are in the NFL for different reasons, and they are built as a recruiter. They would be known by you guys as some of the best recruiters in the country, and they say, no prayer I come back, which is unheard of because they love the recruiting game. They love the process. They love the puzzle. But going back to what y'all are saying is even the portal guys are signed, but they can leave, right? I mean, in the SEC, you sign an agreement, but if you decide to go to USC, you know, if you decided to go to Michigan, Ohio State, or those guys, you're still, hey, you can still tamper with them. There's nothing signed going, you're locked in to Bama, Georgia, Auburn, other than you can't go to the SEC, another SEC school with the SEC agreement. You can still go other places. So they've left open the window for street agents, which I was very familiar with in AAU basketball, and they've left it open to tampering. Hey, SEC, you can't tamper, but the other, you know, other schools can. And that's where I think the frustration is for these coaches. And I don't blame them. It's frustrating covering it. Imagine putting all your time and relationship into knowing the mom and the dad and the uncle and visiting them at work and all that stuff. And you do a great job and they love you. And then they call and they say, you know, Coach Simmons, I got to go here. The NIL is just so much better. I mean, that's just got to be a punch, throat punch.
Yeah, yeah. We're seeing social media tweets by actual representation, right? I mean, from perspective, there was always the mentor, there was the coach, there was the family, there was the parents, the uncle, aunt, whatever. Now, I mean, Chad, isn't there more and more with even high school kids legitimate or at least on paper reps for these kids?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard for me to figure out who makes that final call when, like, for me, it's always been about connecting with the player, with the recruit, the kid. Now, is it the kid making the decision, the mom, the dad, the grandma, the uncle, the mentor, the trainer, the 7-on-7, the agent? You know, who makes the final call? When you're projecting a guy now, I feel like I'm talking like on CNN with Wolf Blitzer, like who's projecting the winner.
No, that's Tim. That's Tim.
I feel like you're in the right spot. You're in the right spot, Chad.
The race, Bama Blitzer.
Yeah, so like we're, I feel like we're saying projecting, you know, making the call, you know, here. But now it's tough to kind of know because there's so many layers now that go into that decision and the decision maker. Who is it? I mean, I'm not going to say names, but not this past summer, but the summer before, I had a kid was announcing on July 4th. I spoke that this kid called me on July 2nd. I never forget, crying to me on the phone that he wanted to go. I already had this story done. He wanted to go to this school because of NIL, he was being made to go to this school because of the money. And that's what you deal with now, because the kid wants to go here, but do his people who sign those papers on the LOI, you know, want the same, you know? And that's, you know, you talk about like relationships where we go back to Christian Robinson and Dawson Merritt. That's old school recruiting right there. Christian's recruiting Dawson the way guys recruited guys 10, 20, 30 years ago. Yeah, you build that connection. Mm-hmm. You build that trust. Dawson has faith in you. I'm going to come to your school and play for you guys. But there's so much more to it now on top of that. Maybe not with Dawson Merritt specifically, but the majority, there's other things to it. And it's just tough to know, trying to connect the dots. Are they all on the same page when you're in my position trying to predict where this kid's going to go, because it changes just like that.
It almost feels like, guys, we don't need Friday to Sunday for OVs for a lot of these prospects or targets, you know, portal included in that. For more and more of them, it seems anyway, it's go to this school, see what the NIL looks like, what the depth chart looks like. I can be out of there in 6 hours. You know, it's so transactional.
I'd say I think the majority aren't that much drama. Yeah. I think the majority, because we have, you look at a class, at a Bama class, and I think, you know, 70% or more are pretty normal recruitments, right? It's the ones that stand out. You know what I mean? That's the ones that drive you crazy. I mean, we saw back and forth at the running back position, just Alabama alone last year. He's going here, he's going there, he's going here, he's going there. And a lot of times that's just simply what school A offered versus school B offered. I do think Nick Saban, and I'm, you know, I think Caleb, the good coaches, Kirby Smart's one, Nick Saban, those guys, I don't think that going back and forth is really going to work because it's never ending. You know what I mean? It's like bidding on an auction where you know you're ahead, you're paying too much for it. So I do think you kind of get your offer in. You have to have your value system. Andrew, wake up and share some thoughts.
Andrew,
you keep on taking over.
Go ahead, Andrew.
No, I mean, one thing that we have noticed, I've noticed at least, is I think a lot of the NIL discussions are happening a lot earlier than they were in the beginning. You know, a few years ago, the NIL discussions were happening at the end of the recruiting cycle. Now they're happening in the beginning of the recruiting cycle when these kids step foot on campus. You know, they want to kind of know, you know, exactly what they're going to potentially get, you know, right off the bat. So are they going to come back to campus for another visit down the road? Are they going to, you know, start looking elsewhere? You know, is this going to be a spot that they want to go ahead and commit to? So I think a lot of the NIL discussions have happened a lot earlier, but there's also a lot more education on it. You know, when these kids are coming to, you know, different campuses, whether it's Alabama or Georgia, they're sitting down with, you know, with people who are running the NIL programs and, you know, educating them what's good, what's bad. You know, On3 Elites having their conference later on this month, where they're bringing in the top, I guess it's top 50 players in the country to Nashville to, you know, sit down with them, educate them, talk about the business side of things. They're going to have speakers. So I think a lot of kids are understanding it a lot better than they were 2 years ago, a year ago, and that's a benefit. So we'll see kind of what happens moving forward, but NIL certainly changed the game up completely. You know, as Tim mentioned, I mean, you're sitting there, you're having these conversations, you're recruiting kids all the way until the end of the process, and then it becomes, what are you going to get? What are you going to give to me?
Yeah, I've talked to some support staff people around college football. They're like, I don't really understand with some of these kids why we're going through what we've always gone through in the recruiting process, because essentially that makes sense to just kind of figure out maybe up front, this is where it's going to be. This is where it's at. Hey, we've held the esteemed Chad Simmons around long enough, but Tim, I know you've got maybe some specific questions related to Alabama targets that you might want to hit your old pal with.
Chad, give me some thoughts on a few of the guys, maybe the West Coast guys Bama's involved with. Jackson Lloyd, I know you're familiar with him. Just the blend of some of, because they came with Abdul Sanders, and we heard some names early, Jackson Lloyd, Dejon Lee, Josiah Sharma. Give us any thoughts you have on the West Coast recruiting they've done, because Bama's always kind of recruited there, but it seems like this group came with a target list where they felt comfortable they were going after some of the best guys out there.
Yeah, I think this goes back to, you know, DeBoer, you know, Courtney, Morgan, those guys being at UW and recruiting those guys from the beginning, whether it be Dejon Lee, Marcus Harris, Jordan Davison, guys so on that are out there. Jackson Lloyd, man, I'll say this, you know, I pride myself in connecting with these guys, but man, he is a tough one for me, I will say, to get to. And I know he plays, you know, baseball, football, all that kind of stuff, and that's great. But it seems like for sure, based on I think what you guys are hearing on the same as me, is Bama's in a good spot there, kind of trending heading into the summer. On guys I know better, like a Dejon Lee, I think, you know, that's turning into right now on the surface, you know, Bama versus Georgia. I think obviously, you know, I've been out there obviously a few times. He's in Southern California at Mission Viejo and coming off the state championship there. Sources out there continue to tell me, do not, no matter what happens this summer, whether it's Bama, Georgia, whoever, don't sleep on USC. He's got his family, like the local, him keeping him close, him going. We know those guys out there aren't scared to leave the country. I mean, you see Zabion, you guys got him last year at Alabama, and you see like a Nate Frazier going to Georgia, Brandon Baker to Texas. I mean, those guys aren't scared to leave the West Coast and go play SEC football by any means, but they say always just look, keep USC in your back pocket and watch for those guys to make a run late. But I do think Bama and Georgia, depending on who you talk to and which day, goes back and forth there with Dejon Lee. They're very much in play for a guy like Marcus Harris. You know, I think with Jordan Davison, he loves Robert Gillespie, who obviously was retained by DeBoer, on this staff at Modern Day. The running back, I think Ohio State maybe is trending, you know, I'd say at the moment for Jordan. But I think DeBoer and that staff are going to use those connections that they established and built while coaching at UW, University of Washington, and try to carry some of those guys, whether it be 25 or 26, even 2027, guys to help the, you know, Bama either sign those guys this class or get in the door for next year or the year after.
Always great stuff from Chad Simmons, the director of recruiting for On3. And with that, Andrew, Tim, anything else for Chad before we put a wrap on it?
We'll be having Chad on as things develop more in the summer. I enjoyed it. I had a good time. I'm glad we got to do this. I was looking forward. We're just now figuring out how to get our guests on. We're building the YouTube page. We hope you like and subscribe. But, hey, we're bringing in the heavy hitters. Chad Simmons, one of the best guys in the business. Not just the job. Not just the job. Even if he stunk at his job, he's a fantastic human being. But he's great at his job. He's one of our best friends. He's just a good, he's a Braves fan. You know what I mean? That's
he's like, got to be all right then, right?
Like I'm telling you.
I can't watch him on TV anymore. So I might call you, Tim, ask you who's winning.
Oh,
this
no.
I can't watch him anymore.
That's terrible.
Tim will get you a Bally subscription.
I'll get you hooked up. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. I mean, we got to stick together.
Hey, I did want to ask you, Chad, about a couple, two more guys that are in your state, two pretty polarizing players, Juju Lewis, Justice Terry. You followed those guys, covered them for a very long time. Juju committed to USC last August, but obviously he's got some official visits planned. He's still sort of mentioning Alabama. I know that Auburn, Colorado have been mentioned a lot lately with him as far as, you know, biggest threats maybe to USC with Georgia. Maybe they're fading a little bit, you know, after they picked up a recent commitment. I don't know if that's the case in your opinion, but did want to ask you about Juju and also about Justice Terry, another five-star in the state of Georgia that flipped from Georgia to USC, but it seems like he's still pretty wide open in his recruitment as well.
Yeah, I think Justice flipped to USC at like 2 o'clock in the morning or something. Like, I don't think you understand the logistics of like announcing your flip or commitment to that side when you're a five-star player like him. But yeah, I'll start with Juju. Obviously, like you mentioned, Bone, I think Georgia's out, you know, getting Ryan Montgomery there. They were at one time viewed as maybe the biggest competition initially for USC. But Georgia, I think, just kind of they had a, you know, about three guys on their board and they kind of became the first one that took it, you know, got that spot. And that's Ryan Montgomery. So based on what I'm hearing there, I don't think Juju as of now goes back to Athens anytime soon. We'll see what happens. But I don't think he takes the OV he had set for May 31st. But yeah, I do think the team that probably has had been the most consistent since maybe mid-March, you know, it's probably been Auburn, I would say, as far as what I'm hearing as the biggest threat. Now, Colorado, they're very much in play. I mean, one thing that was conveyed to me from people in Juju's circle was they want to get on the field. They want to see a path to the field. You know, who's in front? What's the QB room look like? How soon can he play? Is it freshman? Is it sophomore? And I think that comes down to it. We know NIL is going to be somewhat in the mix as well to what weight that carries. You know, it's hard to ever know exactly. But I think a key thing is like the path to the field. Bama, I think he does get back to Bama at some point, spring, summer. I know spring runs technically into June, I believe it is. So whatever you want to call the season that we're in, I call June 1st, summertime, but like that's what I do. But I do think Bama's involved. There's communication from what I'm told earlier this week with Bama still. So I think Bama, Auburn, and Colorado are all still in the mix there. When talking Justice Terry, that was the first time the young man ever got on an airplane. You know, he doesn't get on the plane and fly to Birmingham. He flies to LA, you know, and he goes and, you know, obviously, you know, loves USC. They bring in Aaron Donaldson they got Henny, Coach Henny there, Eric Henderson. And I think he fell in love with that guy's pedigree and what he's done in the NFL and his resume and Aaron Donald and so on. It's his recruitment over with. Not by a long shot. It's going to be very, I mean, you know, I've been saying for a while, do you go with USC or do you take the other side. I go with the other teams, whether it be Alabama, Georgia, Florida State, Ohio State's now in the mix there. You know, obviously long time commit to Georgia. I think they are the biggest threat to USC. But when he was committed to Georgia, he told me on the record, Bama was the biggest threat to Georgia. So I think, you know, Bama obviously is one to watch. He loves Freddie Roach. You know, again, DeBoer keeping him on staff has kept Alabama in that relationship intact. So I do think he'll be at Bama this summer. He'll be at Georgia this summer. I think he'll probably be at both schools in the fall for a game. And Justice Terry will be a guy that we watch all the way until December 4th when that pen hits the paper in Manchester, Georgia. Don't even have a red light. Don't even have a Walmart down there. That place, people get mad about.
They don't have a DG. DG, Chad. A Dollar General? They don't have a Dollar General there?
They might, but it's not a Walmart. They might. And it's maybe like a $1.25 General now, maybe down there too. But he's a tough guy to get in contact with. But when you do talk to him, he's pretty transparent. And there's no doubt he's committed to USC. They're the top school. But there's a lot of other teams in the mix, including Alabama.
In other words, buckle up.
And, 100%. Long way to go in that one. Long way to go.
Chad's going to help keep us informed on all of that, of course, at BamaOnline.com. These two guys, Andrew Bone, Tim Watts, and also Joseph Hastings, going to do an unparalleled job of keeping you up to speed. Anything else, guys, before we get out of here?
Thank you, Chad. We appreciate it. We'll be seeing you this summer. We'll be texting all week, I'm sure.
Thanks for having me. Bring me a souvenir back from Europe when you come back.
Absolutely. I'm bringing you something for sure. Bally's subscription, maybe.
text me the password. I'm on it tonight. Text me the password.
Let's go. Hey, Chad, thanks a lot, my man. Really appreciate it, guys.
Thanks for having me, Chad.
See
you. And with that, for Tim Watts, Andrew Bone, and Chad Simmons, Director of Recruiting for On3, I'm Travis Schreier. Thanks again for joining us right here on the YouTube home for BamaOnline.com. And until next time, so long, everybody.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.